9th chapter of Isaiah, everything changes. And now the focus changes. As you've seen in the past years, we've gone through those first 39 chapters, primarily been about judgment and the occasional prophecy about the kingdom, God's blessings in the kingdom, but mostly God trying to call his people to come back to him. Here in chapter 40, we take a complete turn, if you will, which would tie in well with the beginning of the New Testament, because it actually is a prophecy about the beginning of the New Testament. Notice in verse 1, comfort ye my people, saith your God. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem, and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. So prepare ye the way of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, use your word in our hearts, teach us and guide us. It's a blessing to be able to open it together this evening, Lord, and we just want to please you. And so we pray that each of us would hear from you and respond accordingly, and that the Holy Ghost would have free course in this service, and Jesus Christ would be magnified, in whose name we pray. Amen. So up to this point, there hasn't been a lot of this sort of tone, if you will, because now it's comfort ye my people. So now God is pointing forward and saying, as he says there later in the verse, that she's received double for her sins. Israel has been through so much in the past 2,500 years. So much turmoil, so much pain. And it will be, of course, culminating in the tribulation period when it will be even worse. But this is now a new message to Israel. Up to this point, it's been, again, mostly about judgment. Now God is saying things are going to change. Something's coming. And that something, of course, is Jesus. In verse 2, it says, the voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. This is a prophecy of John the Baptist. If you would look at John chapter 1, we will see that John claims to be the fulfillment of this prophecy in Isaiah chapter 40. So go to the book of John, the Gospel of John chapter 1, and we'll see where John the Baptist professes to be the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. Notice John chapter 1, verse 23. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the way of the Lord, as said the prophet Isaiah. So John is saying, I am the fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 40. And then if you would look over in Matthew chapter 3, we'll see where this actual verse is quoted directly from Isaiah. So in the third chapter of the New Testament, this is quoted as being fulfilled through John the Baptist. Notice Matthew 3, verse 3. Starting in verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. Now this prophecy is quoted in all four of the Gospels. So it was obviously very important. As you know, the Gospels give different accounts of the same events, but it's rare to have something quoted in all four. And this is one of those that was, because it was so important that Israel know that somebody would come and prepare the way for their Messiah. And when John came, that's what he preached. Now, this he was also prophesied of at the very end of the Old Testament. Go to Malachi chapter 3, if you would. So the last Old Testament book to be written was the book of Malachi, written about 400 B.C., and then they had what they called the silent period, where we didn't hear from any prophets for 400 years. But notice that the next to the last chapter of the Old Testament, Malachi chapter 3, in verse 1, Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom ye seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. So back to John again, if you would, chapter 1 again. And I want to show you something that's important to see, that John the Baptist came to prepare the way for the Lord. Now that word Lord, as we've talked about before, when we saw it there in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it was all caps, L-O-R-D. And the King James translators were very kind to us, because what they did is whenever they made all the letters capitalized for the word Lord, that let us know that the Hebrew word was Jehovah. If you see Lord not with all caps, it's just the capital L, then it would have been a different Hebrew word, like Adonai, Elohim, or something like that. But if it's all caps, then it's Jehovah. And as you saw there in Isaiah chapter 40, verse 3, it says, prepare ye the way of the Lord, all caps, so it's Jehovah. But we get to the New Testament, and John is quoting the Old Testament and saying, I'm preparing the way of the Lord. But who is he preparing the way for? Jesus Christ. Notice John chapter 1, verse 26. John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not. He it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoes lasted I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond Jordan, where John was baptized. And the next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So John said, I am the one, I am the messenger of Isaiah 40, I've come to prepare the way of the Lord, but he came to prepare the way for Jesus, the Lamb of God, which is just yet another proof of the deity of Jesus Christ, that Jesus has to be Jehovah. And when he came on the scene, John quoted Isaiah 40, the Jews should have known this passage, they had the Old Testament, they knew it quite well, and when John began to quote it, they should have known right then, our Messiah is coming. And many people, as we just read here, were baptized of John the Baptist because they understood this is the prophet from Isaiah 40. This is the fulfillment of the spirit of Elijah. This is the one. And they said, we want to be part of this. It was all good until Jesus started preaching. And they were told that they had to repent. And they had to accept Jesus Christ as the one. And then things didn't go the way they should have gone. And you got to understand that when John and Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, that was a genuine offer of the kingdom. That God is God. And God can do anything and everything. And God had it planned out to go both ways. Now God in his infinite knowledge knows the future and knew how things would go. But God also had it set up such that if Israel would have repented and they would have said, yes, this is the one, this is our Messiah, we accept you, thank you for coming to save us from our sins, Jesus would have given them the kingdom right then. That was how it was set up. But that's not what happened. They rejected their Messiah. They nailed him to a cross. And they still reject the Messiah for the most part. Now, if you would look over Matthew 23, very well-known passage that we've looked at a lot in our prophecy class, Jesus here pronounces the final rejection, the final condemnation upon Israel for rejecting him. It's a very sad passage here in Matthew 23, verse 37. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. For I say unto you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. That was the prophecy right there of the second coming of Jesus Christ to the earth. When he comes to the earth, the Jews that are left will realize we rejected our Messiah as a nation. And they'll say, what are these prints of these nails in your hands? And Jesus will say, I got these in the house of my friends. And they'll realize that they crucified their Messiah, but that when he returns at the end of the tribulation period, they will accept him for who he is, as the Messiah, as Jesus Christ, Jehovah, and go on into the kingdom. And so, as John said, if you go to Mark chapter 1, remember, he talked about the baptism of repentance. He started off his message with repent. Jesus started off his message with repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And when John was baptizing people, this was not what we refer to as New Testament church baptism. This was the baptism of repentance. This was a baptism saying, I believe that John is the one sent to prepare the way of Jesus Christ, the Messiah of Israel, and I am accepting that to be true. It's not the baptism in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost for New Testament Christians that have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and been saved because he died on the cross for their sins. He hasn't died on the cross at this point. And they don't even understand that he's going to die on the cross at this point. All they know is John is the one, and they're accepting that as truth. And that Jesus is the Messiah, and they're accepting that as truth. And notice here in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, John did baptize in the wilderness and preached the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. So John came to prepare the way of the Lord, to make a highway for our God. And again, we have to understand that John, it could have gone either way. And go to Isaiah 35 and we'll see what he was talking about when he's talking about this highway. We looked at this recently, actually, a few Sunday nights ago. Because what is this highway he's talking about? This is the highway that will be in the kingdom. And so the prophecy of John the Baptist, again, was set up to go either way. And if Israel would have said, yep, we accept Jesus, he's the one, we embrace him, the kingdom would have come. There would have been a highway. Notice Isaiah 35, verse 8. And an highway shall be there, and a way, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over, but it shall be for those, the wayfaring men, though fools, shall not err therein. That part of the prophecy hasn't happened yet. That will happen in the kingdom. And so will the rest of the prophecy. Let's go back to Isaiah 40. And so this is very similar to that prophecy in Isaiah 61, where Jesus Christ stood up, remember, in the synagogue, and he said, I am that one that was sent. I am the fulfillment of that prophecy. And then he stopped, because the rest of the prophecy talked about things that haven't happened yet. The kingdom and the second coming. Same here. This prophecy, remember, Old Testament prophets didn't see the church. We learned that when we preached through Ephesians. It was a total mystery to the Old Testament prophets. All they saw was Jesus' first coming, and then they saw the tribulation period. They saw the second coming of Jesus. They did not see the church. Total mystery. So this prophecy skips right over the church. So we see him, verse 3, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway. Verse 4, every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, the rough places plain. Did any of that happen when Jesus came the first time? No. We have now transitioned in this prophecy from things that occurred to things that will occur. And these things will occur. It's just there was at least 2,000 year delay between them. For this parenthetical dispensation, we know as the dispensation of the grace of God, or the church. And notice Zechariah 14, and we'll see when this fulfillment will take place, about these geographical changes that will accompany the return of Jesus Christ. Zechariah chapter 14, and verse 4. We looked at this recently, but the Bible tells us the very spot where Jesus' feet will land when he returns to the earth, it will be at the Mount of Olives. Notice Zechariah 14, for his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east, And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west. There shall be a very great valley, and half of the mountain shall remove toward the north and half of it toward the south. So Jesus is going to completely rearrange the geography of Israel at that time. There'll be rivers where there were deserts. There'll be mountains where there were valleys and valleys where there were mountains. He's going to completely change it around. And that's what Isaiah 40 verse 4 is referring to, is what happens when the Messiah is accepted and returns to the earth. That's Jesus. He goes on to say in Isaiah 40 verse 5, he says, "And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." Again, that hasn't happened. All flesh shall see it. That won't happen until Jesus returns to the earth. And the Bible says every eye shall see him, as we're told in Revelation 1. We'll look at that in a moment. First, look at Habakkuk chapter 2, and then we'll look in Revelation 1 and see the fulfillment of Isaiah 40 verse 5 is, again, in the future. So Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Habakkuk. There it is. Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk. Habakkuk chapter 2, there it is. Verse 14. "For the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea." That's definitely not true today and has not been true ever. Not since the fall. But someday it will be true during the kingdom. Jesus' kingdom. The kingdom of heaven. And that kingdom will be a time where the whole earth will know about Jesus. They will know who Jesus is. They will recognize him as God. They will recognize him as the Messiah. Go to Revelation 1, if you would. And now, does that mean everybody will get saved? Unfortunately, no. God's going to give man one last chance to prove how wicked his heart really is, and that's the kingdom. Now, praise God, we'll be there. We'll already be in our glorified bodies, ruling and reigning with Jesus. We have nothing to be concerned about. But there will actually be people living in a perfect society under Jesus Christ's perfect rule and reign, no curse, living longer. It's going to be an amazing time. And yet, after that 1,000 years, the devil's let out for just a little season. And the Bible says he rounds up a multitude that you can't even number to do what? Fight against Jesus. Imagine that. And Jesus just kills them like that. There's not even a battle. That's it. They're just gone. So notice here in Revelation 1, where the Bible talks about his return, verse 7, "Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him." That's pretty clear. Every eye. That's what Isaiah is talking about in Isaiah 40 verse 5 when he says, "All flesh shall see it together." Everybody will see the return of Jesus Christ at the end of the tribulation period. And it says, "They also which pierced him," the Jews, "they will see him." And of course, it says, "All the kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him," because he's coming back to execute judgment. We read in Revelation 19 that he will have a two-edged sword and he will execute the wrath of God. He will judge the nations. Many will be condemned at that point. Those who survive will go into the kingdom and be able to live in Christ's amazing time. But you can see the turn here in Isaiah. And it won't be long. We'll be, of course, in chapter 53, which is the Old Testament gospel of Jesus, if you will, where we read about his sufferings for our sins. But here we have a complete change in the tone of Isaiah, where God says, comfort ye, my people. Somebody's coming. Now, it's going to be 500 years, 600 years, but somebody's coming to introduce the Messiah. And the Messiah is the Lord Jehovah, the Lord Jesus Christ. And John was chosen in the womb to be the fulfillment of that prophecy. He leapt for joy when he was 6 months gestation in the womb, when his mother heard about Jesus, about Mary having Jesus. And At 6 months gestation, the Bible says he leapt for joy and was filled with the Spirit of God. God chose him early to be the messenger of Jesus Christ. And that's exactly what he did. He came, he preached, and not long after he had his head cut off, he fulfilled his mission, and then he was put in prison, and we know that story. But he prepared the way of the Lord. And probably his most well-known passage, which we should all know by heart, John 1:29, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." If only they would have listened to that. The Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. The Jews knew what he meant by lamb. They knew about the Old Testament Passover lamb. They knew what that was all about. And John saw Jesus coming, and he saith unto them, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." He came to prepare the way of the Lord, all caps, Jehovah. That's exactly what he did. The rest of the prophecy still hasn't happened. The holy highway, the geographical changes, the glorious return of Jesus Christ to the earth when every eye shall see him. But John the Baptist came to prepare the way of the Lord. And aren't we so thankful to be born in the church age? When we get to heaven, we're going to realize how blessed we were to be born in the church age. I mean, even to have been in that transitional period between John the Baptist and the cross, even that was tough. And even to maybe have been in that transitional period between the cross and Pentecost, that would have been tough. But to be in this period after Pentecost, praise God. We get indwelt by the Holy Ghost until the day of redemption. We have eternal security in Jesus Christ. Heaven is done. We are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We're made part of him at salvation. We are so blessed. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Look what's going to happen in the tribulation. Terrible time. The devil's going to rule. People are going to take the mark of the beast and condemn their souls to hell. More than half the earth is going to be killed. We are very blessed. And it all started with John the Baptist coming on the scene and saying, "I'm the one. I was sent to prepare the way of the Lord." Amen.